could have my Gucci on. Gucci on. I could wear my Louis Vuitton. But even with nothing on, bet I made you look. I made you look. Yeah, I look good in my Versace.
Welcome back to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
You get a taste. You'll never 207,
welcome to it. This is Ottawa Now. I'm Andrew Pinson in for Christy Cameron the rest of this week here on News Talk 580 CFRA. What a wild day of news. Not necessarily the breadth, but just kind of all over the place. We're watching the U.S. president as he is expected to arrive in Canada this evening. There's more allegations of foreign interference in our elections. We've had an MP resign from caucus facing some very serious, not proven, but very serious allegations on that front. We're also continuing to watch this talk about the Sens ahead of next week's meeting between NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman and Mayor Mark Sutcliffe. Sutcliffe actually stopping by TSN 1200 to talk about this today. So we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But the Sens still very much in the news for different reasons than a playoff race. I think they're still technically in right now. But that conversation continuing, talking about today how, the Breton Flats may not be the only option for a potential future arena for the Ottawa Senators. Is that posturing ahead of this visit with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman? We chatted with Moshe Lander yesterday, sports economist, and he was saying, don't blink, look them right in the eye and stand up to him. That's what he's saying to Sutcliffe to bargain with the NHL. So is that, is this posturing? Is there other places that are suitable for an NHL arena? Let's just say some of the issues that we're talking about coming up. Over the course of the next 4 hours with you until 6 o'clock here on News Talk 580 CFRA, and just bring you up to date on news so far today, if you're heading down towards the 401, a reminder that it is closed in both directions because of a fatal crash near Belleville. A three-vehicle crash happening just before 6:30 this morning. We've seen the freezing rain coming down across eastern Ontario. This crash involving two transport trucks and a passenger vehicle. One person pronounced dead at the scene, another taken to hospital with serious injuries. So the highway closed in both directions between County Road 49 and Shannonville Road. The right westbound lane is just reopened before 1 o'clock. The left westbound lane and both eastbound lanes remain closed at this time. So just a note if you're heading down that way this afternoon. Back here in Ottawa, as U.S. President Joe Biden gets set to head to the Capitol later today, a new poll of Americans showing his approval rating is down. The Associated Press poll finding Biden notched a 38% approval rating, down from 45 in last month's survey. So the result, nearly the lowest approval rating since Biden took office, and it comes as his administration tries to project a sense of stability while confronting a pair of bank failures on the domestic front. Now, he and Justin Trudeau expected to talk about Buy American policies south of the border, defense spending, and the situation in Haiti. U.S. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby said on Wednesday, without question, the two will also be discussing immigration. So Kirby says there's more people on the move in this hemisphere than there have been since the Second World War, and many have been crossing into the U.S. from Canada. Not usually the typical thing that we talk about when we talk about this issue. But Trudeau speaking about the same issue this morning on CTV's Your Morning.
That's why we've been working with the Americans over the past many months, even more than that, to try and make sure that we're protecting those individuals and abiding by our international obligations of being a welcoming country.
Now, announcement is expected on this today, but no details, of course, have been reported yet. But Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre also expected to briefly meet with Biden during his trip to Canada as well. But the nuts and bolts of Biden's visit today, as we monitor and live through that here in the nation's capital, Biden and First Lady Jill Biden are expected to be welcomed by the Governor General shortly before 6:30 tonight. You'll see those closures in the market start around 4 o'clock this afternoon. So after they arrive, they'll head to Rideau Cottage to meet with the Prime Minister and Sophie Gregoire Trudeau. A section of downtown Ottawa closing off, as I mentioned, at 4 this afternoon. It will remain that way until 11 o'clock tomorrow night. So a little bit of a headache if you're heading around town in the next couple of days, but there's more details on these rolling closures at CFRA.com. On the federal election front or the federal politics front, Beijing says it has nothing to say about allegations China meddled in Canadian affairs, including those involving a Toronto MP who's left the Liberal caucus. Don Valley North MP Han Dong resigning from caucus last night after Global News, citing unnamed and anonymous sources, reported that he spoke about Michael Spavor and Michael Kovrig with a Chinese diplomat in Toronto in February of 2021. Dong telling the House last night that he would defend himself against what he called absolutely untrue claims and that he did nothing to cause Spavor and Kovrig any harm, disputing any suggestion he urged China to delay their release. On the provincial front, a number of new investments will be unveiled this afternoon when the Ontario government presents its budget. It's already clear at least one investment won't be in the fiscal plan. Government sources telling the Canadian Press the program to give workers 3 paid sick days during the pandemic won't be renewed. It's already expected to expire at the end of the month. It's despite some opposition pressure to make that permanent. Our Finance Minister Peter Bethan-Falvey has signaled the budget will show restraint after years of big spending on COVID-19-related programs. Fall economic update forecasts a deficit of $8.1 billion for the province in the upcoming fiscal year. Relatively small deficit of $700 million in next fiscal year as well. Budget set to be tabled at 4 o'clock this afternoon at Queen's Park. We'll bring you the latest here on News Talk 580 CFRA. New report from the Canadian Institute for Health Information says that hospitals across Canada are performing surgeries at close to pre-pandemic levels, but it's still not enough to overcome the backlog created by the pandemic. Many patients waiting 1 to 12 days or longer for cancer surgeries. Andrea Seal of the Canadian Cancer Society says that's too long.
A day or two might not sound like a lot, but it truly is when it comes to cancer because it's just a disease that cannot wait.
Many knee and hip replacement surgery patients are also affected and are waiting longer than the recommended 6 months for their operations. Ottawa Hospital defending its decision to partner with a private corporation offering hip and knee surgeries out of one of their campuses. Hospital says in a statement, doctors with the Academic Orthopedic Surgical Associates of Ottawa have conducted 40 procedures out of the Riverside campus over the past 4 Saturdays. Plan has received pushback from the union representing some of the hospital's healthcare workers and the opposition NDP who argued it could drain resources from the hospital. And they also questioned whether a private group should use public hospitals. But the hospital says the pilot project has increased surgical activity and has reduced surgical costs, which it has reinvested back into patient care. Ottawa Mayor Mark Sutcliffe says although LeBreton Flats would be a great spot for a new Ottawa Senators arena, it is not the only option. With the sale of the team heating up, speaking on TSN 1200 today ahead of his meeting with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman next week, Sutcliffe says there's other possible spots for a new NHL rink.
Not necessarily, but I think ideally it would be. It all depends on where it would be built and what the deal would be and what would be around it. But in principle, I think we've seen throughout North America that downtown arenas are better than suburban arenas typically. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't rule out the possibility that whoever the new owners are might decide they want to stay in Kanata and refurbish that arena and stay where they are. That's obviously a possibility. I wouldn't rule out, you know, the deal being struck with the NCC for LeBreton Flats, and I wouldn't rule out looking at another location as well. I think all options are on the table, and it's really about what's best for the community and what's best for the team.
Now, the Senators reached a memorandum of understanding with the NCC last year aimed at putting an arena on LeBreton Flats directly on the city's LRT line, but Bettman has said that any potential new location for the team will be up to the new owners. He said last week the process of winnowing down the number of interested parties would take a matter of just weeks. Parents of a Michigan school shooter, Ethan Crumbley, will stand trial for their alleged role in the 2021 mass shooting that killed 4 people. A 3-judge appeal panel has ruled Jennifer and James Crumbley have pleaded not guilty to 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter in connection with the shooting at Oxford High School back in the fall of 2021. Their son was 15 at the time and allegedly used his father's semi-automatic handgun to kill 4 students and injure several others. The parents are accused of making the gun accessible and failing to recognize some warning signs of their son's failing mental health. The case being watched by legal experts across the U.S. is a potential precedent when it comes to parents' responsibility in the case of such mass murders. Class action lawsuit launched by Vancouver Mother will go ahead, and video game maker Epic Games and its hugely successful game Fortnite. So a Vancouver Mother suing Fortnite. It alleges the game was deliberately designed to make it addictive as possible for kids, and that Epic Games has enriched itself through in-game purchases. None of the allegations have been proven in court. CTV tech expert Carmi Levy calls this case a warning sign for all parents.
We can't simply assume, oh, don't worry, the gaming industry has my kids' best interests at heart. No, they don't. They're, you know, profit-driven companies, and they will take advantage of every loophole they can to make as much money as they can, and they'll apologize when kids get addicted. This company just paid $500 million fine in the U.S. for this kind of behavior. They'll get away with as much as they can, and if I'm, you know, as a parent, I watch for that because I certainly wouldn't trust big tech.
Levi contends that video game makers don't achieve success unless their products are addictive, bringing gamers back to play over and over again. And the CEO of TikTok has made a rare public appearance today before a U.S. congressional committee. Xu Xiaozi, facing a grilling on data security and user safety, while making his own case for why the hugely popular sharing app, social media sharing app, shouldn't be banned. Xu says the company pledges to keep the data of users out of foreign governments' hands.
All protected U.S. data will be under the protection of U.S. law and under the control of the U.S.-led security team. This eliminates the concern that some of you have shared with me that TikTok user data can be subject to Chinese law.
A U.S. ban on an app would be unprecedented. It's unclear how the government would go about enforcing it. Back here in Canada, the federal government has already banned it from its work devices. Many provincial and municipal governments have also followed suit. 217 here on Ottawa Now. That's what's making news so far today. Around the world?
Join the conversation on Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron. Text 580-580 right now.
23, welcome back. Kind of a miserable day in the nation's capital, but the U.S. president nonetheless coming in tonight, so we'll continue to follow any developments that come out of that this afternoon. One of the asks or one of the topics of discussion between Trudeau and Biden will be the issue of defense spending. There has been pressure on Canada to provide more over the past few years, under the previous Trump administration as well. So that will be talked about. We'll chat about that with Christian Lupret coming up from Queen's University and the Royal Military College as well. Also, ahead of this visit, which you can say coincidence, but former Prime Minister Stephen Harper also speaking out, saying that Canada needs a conservative renaissance here. Very interesting timing, as I mentioned, ahead of the U.S. president's visit. But also, you know, trying to rally a base here as polls have shown, you know, conservative leader and opposition leader Pierre Poilievre has had difficulty connecting with Canadians. There's just a little bit of shot in the arm for that conservative movement that he's calling for. But we'll talk about that with conservative strategist Gary Keller coming up before the top of the hour as well. On the not-so-serious front, I don't know if you've been following what's happening in Saskatchewan, but tourism board there coming under fire. This is pretty good. So, tourism board there, it's called Experience Regina. They've been trying to figure out a way to drum up some new tourism. So they come up with this new campaign that they released last week. It's a couple of different ones. So one is show us your Regina.
Oh, God.
And two,
this is so good.
And two, the city that rhymes with fun.
Oh, I would go on purpose.
Yeah. So that not going over well with a lot of people in Saskatchewan, apparently.
Oh,
so, you know, they're trying to take like an edgier kind of thing to it. It's based on this, you know, viral video back in 2008, kind of a play on that a little bit. So, you know, they were having some fun with it. But yeah, the backlash has kind of been unreal. Some people have been calling for members of the tourism board to be fired here. So Regina's mayor actually speaking out today saying that she doesn't necessarily think anybody should lose their job over the rebranding job. Sandra Masters says that council will need to be briefed on what happened before they rolled out this campaign. Who knew what and when about this? It seems like the mayor is asking for it today. So she says it's unfortunate that the campaign could have caused harm to people.
It's so deeply regrettable that, again, that kind of negative impact surrounds them and they can't avoid it.
So she says the intention of the campaign was to promote the city and its people, but that clearly wasn't the impact with some of the backlash that they've received over that. So
this is absolutely over the top.
the opposition, the people who have been opposed, I should say, I'll throw out what they were saying. They say it needlessly sexualizes the city.
Oh my God.
On that front. A couple of other here.
It's just calling having a sense of humor. That's all it is.
But yeah, another member of the tourism board saying, I want to start apologizing on behalf of myself and our team for the negative impact we created around the elements of the of our brand launch. So yeah, they had a city council meeting.
Listen, we've all been thinking this since grade six.
Yeah.
So this has been on every Canadian's mind since we started learning about it.
Isn't that kind of the idea too? It's where it does leave to the imagination, right?
Yes.
It's not kind of like knocking you over the head.
No.
It makes you laugh. It's supposed to make you think a little bit, right? And
yeah.
If you just said it on the air, you'd probably be, right? What are you doing?
It's cheeky.
Yeah, that's the name. Well, like, you're trying to get people to come to your city. What are you all about?
Exactly. Yeah. No, come know. On. Rhymes just with, have a little fun with, out there.
Rhymes with Regina. That's what we're all about.
I guess I understand it's not the most exciting place to be, but come on. Let's have a little fun with it. I don't know. Why can't we just have some fun? What happened to us?
Let's go down that rabbit hole this afternoon.
What happened to us?
Can we just shake our fist at the cloud a little bit? Yeah. What happened to back in my day? But yeah, I don't know. I think the reaction a little bit too much. There is something to be said about listening to your community and the feedback that you get. But I don't know. If it made you laugh, you remembered it. You're going to remember Experience Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's quite the experience in Saskatchewan. I don't know. Just one of those scandals. Very Canadian scandals.
So
I think on that front, too.
Listen, we have worse. We have cities that are named worse in Canada.
I think. Do you think so?
Yeah. One's in Nova Scotia.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So
there's a few on in Newfoundland as well. But yeah, as I mentioned, I have not heard the Experience Regina song, but that's what this was based off of as well, right? And that's actually where this was kind of coming from. Do you have a clip of that, Mary? Just that over and over again, honestly. This is kind of a work off of that. And obviously, this is going viral way back. This is like 2008 because of its obvious rhyming. Joe texting, when was the last time Regina was in the news? It seems like a hit to me. I couldn't remember the last time.
No.
Talking about Saskatchewan, but I don't know. They say all press is good press, right?
That's I was just about to say that, right?
I don't know. Yeah, Dildo Newfoundland, right? Famously. Yeah. I got another text here, right? Jimmy Kimmel also went and became the unofficial mayor there for a gag for the Tonight Show last year as well.
And their slogan is, there's no place like Dildo.
True story.
There you go.
Think about that. Multiple levels. 229. Take a quick break here. This is Ottawa Now. I'm in for Christy Cameron here. This is News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back to Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back. This is Ottawa Now. I'm Andrew Pinson in for Christy Cameron on this dreary Thursday here in Ottawa, March 23rd. The provincial budget coming down this afternoon. At being tabled at 4 o'clock at Queen's Park, so we'll bring you the details as they become available today, too. But we do know one thing that won't be in the budget, I guess. Funding for COVID-19 restrictions in the province's long-term care homes. Sources telling the Canadian Press they will not be renewed at the end of this month when they are set to expire. Joining us to chat about that and the provincial budget is Laura Tamblyn-Watts. They're the CEO of CanAge, a national seniors advocacy organization. Laura, thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
This was one of the first things that did to kind of trickle out yesterday, leaking out that some of these restrictions won't be continued at the end of this month. They say the high vaccination rates among nursing home residents and staff have led the chief medical officer to start easing some of these measures. Do you see your first reaction to hearing that yesterday?
Well, this seems like an excuse to cut the budget in long-term care. I mean, there's a difference between easing off restrictions, such as things like, you know, not requiring masks outside. That's completely reasonable. You know, stepping down some of the restrictions of only one caregiver at a time, and so on. Those are important. But what we don't see is that this means that this money is stopping. And unless we actually deal with the fact that many, many long-term care homes are still in outbreak, if the money doesn't flow, they won't be able to respond when those outbreaks are happening.
Is there a concern, I guess, you know, we did see some of the damning reports that came out during the pandemic, some of the conditions. Is there, you know, a sense that if some of these restrictions go away, we could end up back at square one from your perspective?
I think the biggest concern is if the money doesn't have a permanent targeted set of pooled resources available around preventing and controlling the infectious disease in the homes, then we are still going to be back either with COVID, which is still there, as we know, in homes right now. And then, of course, every season, we know that pneumonia and influenza and RSV are there as well. So we're worried that this seems like a just turning away from long-term care homes' requirements for doing quite a lot when there is an outbreak and not thinking about it in a longer-term solution.
When we, I guess, talk about the investment part of this and the money part of this, is, I guess, even the hope from your perspective today, I'm not sure what we're going to see in terms of other funding, but would the hope be that, you know, this is picked up somewhere along the line, that, you know, there's funding somewhere else down the road for long-term care?
That is the hope, that there will be a dedicated permanent solution with real core funding for infection prevention and control. And it won't be this just sort of slapdash approach that we have seen the government do in terms of its funding. Now, as you know, Ontario and the feds came to a bilateral agreement with our healthcare transfer. So we'll be watching closely to see if those dollars from the feds are going to translate into actual implementable dollars in long-term care in Ontario. But you may have seen the Minister for Long-Term Care almost wave his hand away from that. So it's going to be really important to see what happens in the next hour, hour and a half.
And it sounds like to you, so maybe it's rather a budget decision rather than those that will, you know, help in long-term care in the long term, I guess.
Absolutely. So right now, certainly there are some things that we can do to ease off the measures and restrictions in long-term care that are appropriate, right? They've been very, very locked down, very restrictive, and there are absolutely some things that can happen. But without resources on an ongoing basis to work on infection prevention and control, we'll never meet national standards. We will never meet, you know, any type of accreditation. And our long-term care system, which is so desperately underfunded, is going to continue to crumble. We can't ask long-term care to do things that we don't fund them to do. And that's particularly true, of course, with not-for-profit homes.
Well, and a couple of other issues I know have been facing seniors nationally, but also here in Ontario, obviously. But healthcare and affordability, obviously access to some healthcare and just straight affordability for many seniors here. Are you hearing a lot from members in terms of struggling in those areas as well? And I guess, do you hope the province has some kind of measures for that today?
We are hoping. Certainly, we have seen so many of our CanAge members reaching out to us with profound concerns about trying to make ends meet. We are hearing people make decisions between getting their prescriptions and filling up their oil tank, between whether or not they're going to eat or whether or not they're going to pay their phone or internet bill. And for many of them, this is the first time they've ever had that experience. So affordability is going to be core in this budget. The question is, will this government actually take steps to address affordability for seniors? We have never seen them do it before, but we're hoping that given the circumstances right now, that it may be included in the budget. And certainly at CanAge, we're going to be looking for that.
And you mentioned long-term care, kind of healthcare and affordability. Was there anything else kind of on your radar that you were looking for in the budget this afternoon?
We are looking around the question of elder abuse and neglect. Folks may remember that we've had a giant escalation of elder abuse and neglect, particularly in the last 3 years. So one in six people are going to be abused and neglected as Ontario senior, and that increased by 250% in the last couple of years of COVID. And yet the Ontario Network for the Prevention of Elder Abuse hasn't received any budget increase since, I think it's like 2008. And so we're really looking to see whether or not this government is going to support elder abuse and neglect issues and try to help reduce some of those staggering numbers.
And we'll be watching this afternoon as well. But Laura, thanks so much for your time and your perspective on this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Laura Temblin-Watts, the CEO of CanAge, National Seniors Advocacy Organization, reacting to the first little bit we are seeing from the provincial budget, a couple of things coming down yesterday. Government set to remove COVID-19 restrictions in long-term care homes at the end of this month. The province says high vaccination rates among residents and staff have led Dr. Karen Moore to begin easing some measures in a phased approach beginning at the end of this month. So that's one thing that we do know coming out today. And the 3 days paid sick leave, or that came out yesterday, the 3 days paid sick leave, the program implemented during the COVID-19 pandemic, has also not made the cut for being invested in for the budget this year. We'll continue to watch what we do and don't get for provincial investments. What that could mean for the Ottawa area, too. Budget not coming down until 4:05, as I mentioned, so we'll be, I'm sure, talking about this into tomorrow morning as well. Your thoughts always welcome. 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. I want to scream
and shout and let it. Take us with you on your Apple CarPlay or Android Auto through your iHeartRadio app. It's Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
How to become a populist in the sense of responding to the actual concerns of our members and supporters who were ordinary middle class and working class people. And that kind of populism is a very good thing.
Former Prime Minister Stephen Harper speaking at an event yesterday hosted by Canada Strong and Free Network, telling a gathering of Conservative Party faithfuls that the term populism is getting a negative connotation. He says it's not a bad thing. In fact, it's something that he learned quickly as a young politician. So he's calling for a conservative renaissance here in our country. Joining us to talk about that, Gary Keller, conservative strategist and vice president of Strategy Corp. Gary, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you.
So it's not very often the big tent man speaks out, right, in terms of hearing from Stephen Harper. Do you make any connection with the visiting of U.S. President Joe Biden or the current situation that the Liberals find themselves in right now? I guess, why now?
Well, it is unusual for Stephen Harper to give a big speech, especially in Ottawa, in his post-political life. Really, the event was the Canada Strong and Free Network annual conference, which is a gathering of a movement conservatives that happens every year. It's really the first big one since the pandemic, where a lot of conservative family get together, small-c conservative family get together to talk about policy and politics and how to win elections and the policies behind them. And it's just, I think, a coincidence and the timing between this event and President Biden's visit later today. Pure coincidence. But you're right, it is not a usual everyday occurrence to have Stephen Harper make a policy speech, especially here in Ottawa.
Very good point. We didn't know Biden was coming into last month, so just throwing that out there as well. It seems like, though, just in terms of, you know, the last populist prime minister in that sense to be able to kind of keep the conservative tent kind of together has been, you know, Stephen Harper. And is this kind of a call, do you think, to kind of approach that and to call for this divide to be wiped out? You know, we're all conservatives at heart, essentially.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the core of his message is, you know, that if you are open to the views of the Conservative Party and you don't like the policies of the current government, you think that government has gotten too big, spends too excessively, or is far too intrusive in the lives of Canadians, then his speech last night was really that a revitalized Conservative Party and the wider movement has to be able to successfully make the case to Canadians about why that movement and that party should be supported. There's been a number of examples where I think, you know, Canadians may say, look, you know, we liked what Justin Trudeau was offering in 2015, but boy, has it ever grown out of control. You know, Pierre Poilievre's line about everything feels broken. I think there's a lot of Canadians, and polling demonstrates this, who might not even be large the conservative supporters, who say, yeah, you know, a lot of things are broken. And in a lot of ways, you know, government exists to serve the people, not the other parts of the government. And sometimes it feels the opposite in terms of the kind of programs and services, delays and broken services that we've had as Canadians, especially that was laid bare through the pandemic.
And if you're Pierre Poilievre, who's the opposition and current Conservative Party leader right now, is this a welcome development for you, do you think, just to have what it seems like, you know, the backing, at least somewhat informally, of the former prime minister?
Well, we know that Stephen Harper didn't come out and support Mr. Poilievre during the leadership race. It's not a surprise. Mr. Poilievre, minister in his government, also a member of parliament for a number of years in his government. And so, you know, I think it's another example of former Prime Minister Harper, who is obviously the elder statesman of the conservative movement in Canada, to say there is a path here forward, but, you know, conservatives think long and hard about that path, about what makes up that path, so you can try to win the next election. And I think that advice is always welcome by, you know, the wider policy conservative movement, because, you know, Stephen Harper, as I said, is that elder statesman of the Conservative Party and conservative movement.
And also find it interesting, just ahead of next week's federal budget coming down, you know, if you were telling the opposition leader these, you know, what issues to kind of focus on next week to kind of hit the Liberals on, you know, what are the easy issues you see as a conservative right now that the Liberals are failing on? I know foreign interference in the elections, we talked about that a little bit, but just other issues that, you know, the conservatives could easily hit on right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting with the visit of President Biden, you know, Pierre Poilievre was out saying, you know, one of his big things was, we've got to fix rocks and road. And now we're seeing today that that's on the agenda for the visit this week. So, you know, there's going to be a number of other things. The level of spending will be interesting in this upcoming budget. You know, Liberals are making signs about trying to meet and match in some aspects the Biden administration's Investment Reduction Act, which is a lot of big spending. That might give Pierre Poilievre a platform to say this spending is out of control. It's got to stop. And if I'm prime minister, I'll do that. And so it's going to be an interesting juxtaposition between the presidential visit and what comes out of that and what it makes its way into the budget and the conservative critique of that budget next Tuesday.
Yeah, whirlwind week in that aspect as well. And it just, it is, you know, somewhat with a minority government, it is a confidence vote when it comes to the budget here. Do you think, so far we have seen, you know, the NDP kind of prop up the Liberal Party on that front in terms of their government. Do you think this becomes an issue where the government could possibly fall? Do you think it's that point?
Well, I'm not a betting man much of the time, but at this time I'd be putting a lot of money to say no election, no problem on passing a confidence vote throughout 2023. I think for all parties, you know, they're looking towards, you know, potentially an election in 2024. But there's certainly not going to be a problem with the Liberals getting past another goalpost of the NDP here in 2023. And so if you're going to place your bets, they're going to win that confidence vote very handily.
Well, and just from the Conservatives' perspective, too, does that more, you know, months into next year, does that give you also a little bit more runway to kind of sell your leader to the public, Pierre Poilievre, to get his support kind of on the rise?
There is that. It gives you an opportunity to tour the country. You know, one thing that Aaron O'Toole didn't have going for him is he was leader during COVID and couldn't do the kind of big events that political parties thrive on. The other thing is the Conservative Party and its sort of nuts and bolts at headquarters. You know, the Liberals have really surpassed the Conservatives in terms of its technology, in terms of being able to identify voters and micro-target voters. This gives them the time to get that technology up and running so that they can compete head-to-head with the Liberals. It used to be the other way around, with the Conservatives were way ahead of the Liberals. Under Justin Trudeau, the Liberals have made huge leaps and steps forward on their technological game, which gives them a better ground game going into elections.
We'll be watching and speculating for sure moving forward. But Gary, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Great to be with you.
Gary Keller, Conservative Strategist, Vice President of Strategy Corp, just weighing in on Stephen Harper speaking out yesterday in an annual conference. As I mentioned, ahead of Joe Biden's visit today, but, you know, somewhat of a coincidence, as Gary mentioned. But I think if you're Pierre Poilievre, you have to be pretty happy with that endorsement of your message in terms of populism and some of the focus. But your thoughts, welcome. 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. We'll take a break for the 3 o'clock news. We'll be right back. This is Ottawa Now. I'm Andrew Pinson, in for Christy Cameron.